Holy Spirit, rain down on us so that we would have understanding of the Word, be empowered for the work, be encouraged in our love for one another. Let us attend to this Word from the book of Acts, chapter 11, 19 to 26. This is continuing this theme we've been doing all summer, kind of working our way through the book of Acts. And I'm sorry to say that we will not finish the book of Acts before I leave. We are barely halfway through. So you all will have to read the rest of the stories to see what happens, okay? Listen for God to speak to you through this story. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. This is the word of the Lord. It's quite a challenge to kind of think about what are the last things you want to say to a congregation before you move on. Like, what haven't I said already? Or what have I said that I don't think you're hearing? Or what didn't I have time to speak to you about? And ultimately, you have to leave some of it up to the Holy Spirit. Does that mean? Is that better? Okay. No, something's connection somewhere. Oh, we turned it off. Put it back on. Are we good? Okay. So, as I was saying, I have to leave some of this up to the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way right now in what God has planned for you and for Tracy and for this community as you continue to serve and minister into it. But I did want to take a moment to look at what's happening in the early church to see if there was anything that would encourage and maybe bring us some insight as to how we might continue on in our work and in our service and in our faithfulness together. So we kind of leave what's happening with Peter and Cornelius. We've kind of left Paul back, you know, with some of the disciples kind of teaching him. And we are back to the church in Jerusalem, which has heard about what's happening in Antioch. Now, Antioch is a Syrian city. It's like number three of the top three cities in the world at the time. It's a crossroads. It's a trade center. And so you can imagine that there are a multitude of people moving in and out through this city. And we're told that there at least is a Jewish community there, and that there's a Hellenist community there, and of course there are Syrians there. So you can imagine that there's a diversity of people within this community, and smack dab in the middle of it seems to be developing a church. Now, we're not exactly sure exactly who got this church started. Later on, we'll understand this as the center of Paul's ministry. He'll use Antioch as the place that he goes out from. And we're told at the end of this lesson that he comes to Antioch and spends a year with them, and they're learning and they're teaching together.
So thinking about Antioch and the variety of people that are there and that the word somehow sprung up there without real clear understanding of who brought it to them. We're told that the Christians, or the early people of the way, the followers of Christ, had dispersed when it was clear that Rome was going to persecute the Christians. Stephen is killed and martyred, and they decide it's not safe for them to stay in Jerusalem, so they go off to a variety of different places. We're not told their names, who they are. We just know that they've scattered around the world, the known world to them. And so clearly somebody has come to Antioch and started to tell the stories of Jesus Christ. And as he tells the stories of Jesus Christ, and maybe it was a she, we don't know that, people start to listen and to gather and to ask questions and want to hear the stories again. You know how that is when you hear a good story. You bring your friend along and say, "Tell him that story you were telling me." Right? So this is how the beginnings of the Antioch church happen. Not necessarily with any clear planning. That'll come later. But by the power of the Holy Spirit working in people, whether intentionally or unintentionally, they have found their way to Antioch. Sometimes God sets a fire under us to move us along, right? To scatter us. Because it's real comfortable just staying where we are and where it's safe and where it's comfortable and where we're surrounded by people who know us and people who believe like us, right? But in this story, it seems as if God, through the persecution of Rome, has scattered the Christians amongst the cities and communities so that others can start to hear this story. So when the church in Jerusalem hears that there's a church in Antioch, people that are gathering around the word and the stories of Christ, who do they send? They send Barnabas, because he is a person filled with the Spirit and full of grace. And when he gets there, he doesn't spend the time telling them about how they did it wrong. In actuality, he encourages them and tells them that he can see the Spirit and the grace of God working in them. And he rejoices with them for what is happening there. And then he's got this brilliant idea to go get Paul. I'm thinking he was inspired here somehow. To go get Paul and bring Paul to this community. Why Paul? Well, Paul has the ability to speak to a variety of people. You know, he knows a variety of languages. He's got the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. But he's also new to the faith, right? He's not been a Christian very long. So maybe this congregation, who also seems to be full with the Spirit and the grace, can help Paul develop in his ministry, develop his gifts as a preacher, right? It's given him the opportunity to preach from time to time. I just imagine Paul's first couple of sermons being a little bit awkward. Yeah, you know, maybe considering the way he writes, a little bit long. There's a story later in Acts where he's preaching and a fellow sitting in the window falls asleep and falls out onto the ground. Dies. Now Paul has to resurrect him. This is why it's always good to cut the sermon off before people fall out the window. In any case, what I'm trying to say is that community was helpful to Paul in developing his ministry. By being open to listening to him, by giving him some feedback, by helping him to do the work that he was about to do. Are you getting where this connects with you all? Right? When Tracy comes on board here, you need to give her some time to get her feet under her and to get to know you. You need to be open to the things she thinks about ministry and about how the Word of God is going out into the community. You might need to help her to learn the habits and the behaviors and the traditions of this church. But you may also need to be open to changing some of those. You need to recognize that not only is the Spirit moving in all of you, but the Spirit is moving in her too. This is the wonderful thing about God. God has scattered this Spirit across the world, across the people, some who know it and are working with it, and some who are not quite clear what this thing is that's stirring them up inside, and perhaps we can help them with that. Right? The way the writer described the word going out was like wildfire. Now, that's an image that's a little destructive to us these days as we watch the fires in California. But if you think about the way wildfires move, it just takes a spark jumping over here and suddenly everything's aflame. And that's the way the word works. If one person brings the word over here, then suddenly people are on fire over here. I find it so funny that I have become an evangelical preacher. Really. But I think that's what we need today. I think we need people that are going to speak the word to the community. To some people who have been to church and have left church, to some people who have never been to church. And what's the word? Well, it's Jesus Christ. But beyond that, it's what we know and believe about Jesus Christ. That this is the love of God made manifest in the world. So the word is love. That forgiveness is available to all so that we might be in relationship with God and with each other. So the word is forgiveness. That God calls us to be in communities, to belong. So the word is belonging. That you are a child of God and you are loved for who you are and who God creates you to be. So again, the word is love. We know these words. Sometimes we hesitate to speak them. Oh, they're too religious. Oh, people don't want to hear about my faith in Jesus Christ. Actually, I think they do want to hear about your faith in Jesus Christ. I think they want to know why you believe. I think they want to know what the Spirit is doing in your life. I think they want to know how you've been changed. And then I think they want to hear those words also of love and forgiveness and belonging. This is the first time they're called Christians, but even yet, they don't know what that word means. It's a term that they used for Jews who believed the Messiah had come and were following Jesus as the Messiah. But it hadn't quite become this institution, this church that we know it, this religion that we know today. It was still finding its way in the world. And to be honest, I think it's still finding its way in the world today. One of the things the church did was nurture Paul and nurture each other. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we imagine that because we've accepted Jesus Christ, because we've been confirmed, because we've joined the church, that we're done. You know, we've got our salvation sorted out. We know where we're going to spend eternity. But the reality is Christianity is a faith that's meant to be lived every day. And that means every day we have to nurture that spirit, that love, that forgiveness, in ourselves, in each other, and then in the world. And if we do that, not just in words, but in actions, and if we do that, we will counter all of the things that are negative and horrible that are happening in our world. I mentioned to Emily this morning that the problem with the wildfire images was the destructive nature of it. And I think that violence has a wildfire kind of process too. You know, if violence is happening over here, a little bit of it ends up over here, and then you've got violence happening over here, and a little bit of it ends up over here. So the wildfire that the Spirit has lit in us and in the church has to counter that fire of violence in the world. You know that, right? That the firemen go in and set fires to push back the larger fires that are happening? We have to be those folks. This morning I heard again that there were, 24 people shot on the south side of Chicago. And you might think, what does that matter to us? Thank God we live out in Elmhurst. Right? Remember that wildfire image. Violence will expand if we don't find a way to bring an end to it. We have to care about the people in these communities around us that are being oppressed by poverty and poor education and daily violence. There's a whole new movement talking about children with PTSD because they live in these communities and deal with these tragedies every day. We have to be the fire that's set to hold back that other fire. Does that make sense to you? Are y'all with me? That fire is here within this congregation. I know it. I've seen it. I've heard it. But we cannot keep it here. We have to be about it out there. Amen.